Pleasure to be here again today. So this weekend's been a good weekend. I don't know how many of you went to the Iowa State basketball game yesterday, but scored a lot of points. Too bad we couldn't transfer two of those over to the week before against Iowa. Sorry if there are any Hawkeye fans here. We don't care about that. So our text this morning is from Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So in the New Testament, there are lots of parables, especially in the Gospels. And a parable is a story that may or may not have happened, but it has biblical truths contained in it. And this one here is not a parable, but it still has parallels that apply to us today. Luke describes this as a story that actually took place at a specific time, at a specific location, and it really happened. But similar to parables, it still has applications to us today. So the first thing we need to understand when looking at this is what leprosy meant at the time. Leprosy was a disease that had a lot of implications back then, not just physical, but also social as well. I looked at what leprosy actually is, and leprosy is a chronic infectious disease mainly causing skin lesions and nerve damage spread by airborne droplets. So it could spread easily among people. And God set up this way to protect Israel from spreading this infectious disease. And we can see in Leviticus 13 what it was that God did to protect Israel. It's Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair on his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." So when God set this law in place in Leviticus, the purpose of it was really to protect Israel from this disease spreading. Since it spread through the air and is infectious, it could have spread through a lot of people very quickly unless precautions were taken. So God set the lepers outside the camp, and that would protect the main Israel. However, if you're a leper, that would kind of stink, wouldn't it? You've got no other human contact unless there's other lepers around. You're completely isolated and separated from Israel. And we see here what leprosy did between Jesus and the lepers. So there was separation. Now, Jesus was a righteous Jew of the day, or is considered to be. And just like any righteous Jew, if he comes upon lepers, the lepers are required to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," and they couldn't come close. And Jesus would have every right, just like any other Jew of the day, to completely ignore the lepers. Don't even have to acknowledge they were there, just keep on walking. So this leprosy caused separation between Jesus and these lepers. So most of you probably know I work at the co-op in Garden City, and we're getting ready for fertilizer season. And I was in the fertilizer shed getting the bins ready for it, and somebody had forgotten to clean out the stainless steel mixing fertilizer bins. And there was, I don't know how many tons that was left in there. And it was all solid as a rock. When fertilizer gets wet and sits, it gets hard. Then you gotta chip it out, and so I had to shovel a lot of fertilizer this last week. So I spent like 2 days. It was probably about 85 degrees or so, and I was shoveling this fertilizer. If it's 85 outside, it's probably 90 or more inside that shed. And I'm getting fertilizer dust on me. It's nasty. It's sticky. I do that like all day. So then I come home at night, and what normally happens when I come home, I walk in my garage, go through the door into the house, and Caitlin is usually there most of the time. And she comes up to me, and normally she gives me a hug and asks me how my day is going. Well, after this day of shoveling all that fertilizer, I do my routine. I get in the garage, go through the garage door, and Caitlin's there. She takes a few steps towards me, and she stops. But something's different. And instead of a hug, I get a wrinkled up nose. Ugh, you stink. You need a shower. My full day of scooping caused a temporary separation between us because I stunk. Well, let me tell you, if you're sitting here today, if you're in a pew and you're breathing and looking at me right now, guess what? You stink too. We all have a problem. Naturally, all of us stink. All of us are separated by God naturally because of our sinful nature. Ephesians 2:3 says, by nature we are children of wrath. And Romans 8:8 says, those who are of the flesh cannot please God. Us naturally as humans in our natural state, we stink towards God. We cannot please him. And we see here these lepers are separated from not only Jesus, but all of the Jews, because they're lepers. They have a problem. And so what happens? Do the lepers cleanse themselves, or do they do some great work so that God will wash them? No, that's not what happened. Jesus was the one who made the move to show them grace. He had every right to completely ignore them and walk on his way. But he called out to them. He acknowledged them and called out to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they were walking, a miracle happened. They were actually cleansed. And usually when we read this passage, we look at the 9 lepers and we kind of are angry with them for not being thankful. But up to this point in the story, everything is actually going pretty well. In fact, those 9 lepers actually have some faith, right? They call out to Jesus, and Jesus answers them, tells them, go show yourselves to the priest. And they have the faith to actually take Jesus at his word, and they turn around and they start going to the priest. Pretty good, right? Well, only one turned around and was thankful towards God. A Samaritan, no less. Now, most of you probably know, but Samaritans were only half Jews, and the Jews did not like them. They had worshipped foreign gods, and the Jews and Samaritans had very little to do with each other. So this poor guy was not only a leper, he was a Samaritan. That's like a double whammy. And he was the one who turned around and came back to Jesus. I believe it says in verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. So here, reading on, then Jesus answered, were not the 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. So here, Jesus starts to make the distinction between this one man and the other 9. The 9 did show some degree of faith, but we don't know, it doesn't really say where their heart was. A lot of us have faith when we go to the doctor if something's wrong, and we have faith that the doctor will diagnose us correctly and give us the right medication, and we trust that the medication he gives us will be good for us and will heal us. So we don't know if that's the extent that these nine had. They just saw Jesus as a miracle worker and just wanted to be healed. Maybe they cared more about their physical healing, and that's as far as their faith went. And if you read the New Testament, there are many people in the New Testament Jesus came in contact with that didn't really care about him as Lord. They thought, well, hey, there's somebody who performs miracles. Let's go see what he can do. And it was more of an entertainment than wanting to meet Jesus personally. But the one Samaritan seemed to have a different heart. He seemed that he was genuinely thankful toward God. And when many people talk about this passage, it's usually from the angle of, well, you as Christians need to be more thankful. Don't be like the nine. You need to be like the one thankful guy. But it almost seems like a heart difference between these nine and the one Samaritan. If we are Christians and we do know the Lord, we are thankful people. And that's God's work of sanctification in us. It's his work to make us more thankful. And honestly, I do fail at times. I'm not always thankful. It happens often that I pray really hard for something. There's something that's very important to me. And I'll pray to God asking for this thing or this event to happen. And maybe I'll pray a lot, but then when God actually answers my prayer, and it turns out great, it's almost like an afterthought of, well, I probably should give him thanks. But when we trust in Jesus, he does change our hearts, and he does make us thankful people. So let me ask you today, where is your heart towards God? Do you stink? We don't have to stink. Or have you been washed and made clean by the blood of Jesus? In 1 Corinthians 6, 10 to 11, it says, let me find that quick. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. See, naturally, in our sinful nature, we do stink, but it's God who closes the gap between us and our sinful nature, and he does the washing on us. And all we do is receive it by faith. There's nothing we do. He washes us, and it's completely his power that does it. And again, in Galatians 3:27, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When we have faith in him, God doesn't see our sinfulness and our unthankfulness and our nasty fertilizer and sweat. He sees Christ, because when we trust in him and have faith in him, we put on Christ and we don't stink before God. So have you been washed? If so, you may know that you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll close this in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that we could come and hear your word, and thank you that I could come here and study your word in preparation for this sermon. I pray that you'd be with each one of us this week as we go about our days, and I pray that we would honor you and that we would be pleasant in your sight. And we know that we can only do that through your blood that you shed for us on the cross. And thank you that we don't have to stink, and that you have washed us and you have done the work for us on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.